for the Rider Dynasty podcast. Let's go!
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are recording on Sunday, Bloody Sunday. I am joined by my friend who puts the in Devi, the Devi Dirtbag himself, Ryan Bickerstaff. How you doing, Ryan?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm loving the U2 reference, by the way.
Thank you very much. I was going to start off with a little Grateful Dead reference with Tennessee, Tennessee. There ain't no place I'd rather be, but unfortunately, we are recording right while the Chiefs are collecting the Lamar Hunt Trophy. Ryan, what do you think about the AFC Championship game? I know that you had Tennessee winning today.
Yeah, I was really hoping the Chiefs would pull it. I'm sorry. I was really hoping the Titans would pull it off and the Chiefs would, you know, collapse under the weight of their expectations, but it didn't happen that way. The Titans put in a solid effort, though, ready to lock up, reload, and go again next year.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised down the stretch. I thought Andy Reid was doing his best to Andy Reid that game away. I don't know why he was calling so many pass plays when a simple run up the middle would have ended any type of comeback chance. I know we wanted to be aggressive, but it's better to be smart sometimes. Now, shockingly, my picks for today were the Chiefs and the 49ers. And unlike every previous round, I at least got the first one right. Now, Ryan, do you think the Chiefs can win the whole thing? Or are we thinking the NFC team can topple them?
If the 49ers go to the Super Bowl, I'm thinking the Niners can knock them off. The Packers, I don't see a way they can pull it off, though. I just don't think they have the firepower to keep up with KC's offense.
Yeah, you know, it's shocking to me. My son and I were on the phone today talking about the games, and neither of us can believe that the Packers are in the championship game.
Yeah, I can't either. I don't know. Like, they're one of the worst 13-3 teams in NFL history.
So, they kind of scare me for that reason.
A little bit.
But remember, guys, give us a follow on Twitter at Ride or Dynasty. Like and subscribe our pod. If you leave a review, we promise to read it. We are going into our off-season. Ryan and Eric are going to be bringing a lot of Devi information to you before we get to the draft. It's going to be a really busy off-season. I'm looking forward to it. What about you, Ryan?
Oh, I can't wait. Devi's kind of my thing. And, this feels like my wheelhouse finally. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Today we are going to have one of your debriefs on KJ Hamler and Donovan Peoples-Jones. That sounds like a 70s funk band.
It really does, doesn't it?
Kind of does. Well, although I'm talking about you in the third person, take it away, Ryan.
Thanks, guys. Hey, Riders, I have a Devi debrief double for you all this week. A couple of Big Ten wide receivers originally hailing from the Detroit area. One went on to play for Penn State, the other stayed home to play at Michigan, but from there, the two's college careers veered off in completely different directions. One, a four-star athlete, went on to become one of the most electrifying and productive receivers in the conference. The other underperformed to the lofty expectations set by his status as a five-star receiver, the best in the class of 2017 according to 24/7. And yet, both project to be day two NFL draft prospects. If you haven't guessed yet, I'm talking about Penn State's KJ Hamler and Michigan's Donovan Peoples-Jones. In a less stacked class of receivers, KJ Hamler would have day one upside. While he will be and is being knocked for being undersized at 5'9", 176 pounds, Hamler's a receiver in the same mold as Hollywood Brown, with the upside of DeSean Jackson. And yes, I realize what I'm suggesting here. Upside doesn't mean sure thing, though. That said, Hamler looks good both on paper and on film. In just two seasons at Penn State, the redshirt sophomore collected 98 receptions for 1,658 yards, and 13 touchdowns. He showed improvement from year 1 to year 2, and added 87 career rushing yards along with one more score on the ground. In 2019, Hamler had 4 games of over 100 yards. Hamler is the fastest player on the field with legit speed, if I had to guess, between 4.28 and 4.32. A true burner and deep threat with an extensive route tree and great hands. He tracks the ball very well on vertical routes and leaves defenders on the way to the end zone. Or he can take a simple 8-yard reception and turn it into a 93-yard score as he displayed against Ohio State in 2018. He's also elusive in the open field and has great lateral quickness to evade defenders, which also contributes to him being an electric kick and punt returner with 1,258 career return yards. So take note if you're in leagues that award points for return yards, because Hamler will be an extra nice addition to rosters in leagues with such scoring systems. I have him ranked 8th among receivers in the class of 2020. Moving along now to Donovan Peoples-Jones, also known as DPJ. This is a player that's the exact same size as Cooper Kupp at 6'2", 208 pounds, but he played on a team with an anemic passing game with a frankly bad quarterback, and the best decision the junior could have made was to leave the situation in Ann Arbor and get onto an NFL team with an NFL quarterback where he can continue to grow as a receiver. DPJ has talent, there's no denying that. The ability is there, but the production aspect is conspicuously missing. He only had 103 receptions for 1,327 yards and 14 touchdowns in 3 years at Michigan. He didn't post a single 100-yard receiving game either. He's an excellent athlete, though, and pops off the screen on film. He has good size, is fast, strong, he's a solid route runner, lines up all over the field, and is often open even when the quarterback isn't finding him and getting the ball into his hands. Peoples-Jones is also a very skilled punt returner with 723 career return yards and 2 touchdowns. Like Terry McLaurin, who played for rival Ohio State, I see Peoples-Jones as one of those rare players that will be a better pro than he was in college. For now, though, he's a polarizing player, and I've seen him ranked as high as the number 7 receiver in this class on Bleacher Report to not even being ranked at Walter Football. Personally, he's lucky number 13 for me, which is a designation I set aside for a player I view as particularly boom or bust. With Peoples-Jones, the bust potential is real, given that he couldn't produce in college, but because of the clear talent he has, the payoff could be excellent relative to where you can draft him as a late round flyer. Overall, I like both these players quite a bit, but as I mentioned earlier, I like Hamler a little better. Because of his production, there is better film on him to build a stronger case, but in the right situation, I think Peoples-Jones can also be a very good receiver in the NFL. Keep in mind that both of these players are very young and may require a year to acclimate to the NFL, so I recommend them for dynasty squads that don't necessarily need a win now piece. And that'll wrap things up for me in this week's Devy Debrief. Starting in the next installment, I will be begin my Devy ranking, so be sure to keep an eye or ear out for those. You can find me on Twitter at the Devy Dirtbag, and I'll catch you in the next one. Now, back to the podcast.
All right, well, thanks, Ryan, for that information. As always, I jot down what you say, and then select based upon what else I hear, what I'm going to listen to. I don't know. But I still go with Donovan Peoples-Jones being a 70s funk band. But I'll probably draft
this is safe.
Him.
Yeah, hey, why not? As a late round flyer, why not? I think he has a lot of upside as a 4 or 5-star number one receiver in his class.
You know, although it never works for me, I tend to pick the longest names possible. So J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Donovan Peoples-Jones. The more names you have, the more likely I am to pick you.
It's a solid strategy.
Better than my previous one, but I won't go into that. Anyway, Riders, tonight, we're going to just do a quick 2-round mock startup draft. Basically run through a 12-team, 1 QB, PPR, no tight end premium. Of course, no IDP because that makes Michael Kloss cry. So yeah, we're just going to go through, talk about who we have, give us a good reason to argue about some of our rankings. So Ryan, being that you lost the pick today because you went with Tennessee, mm-hmm. I get to go first.
Have at it, JJ.
I get to go first. So my first pick, I am going with the one, the only, of course, Christian McCaffrey. Who else am I going to go with?
Yeah, I really can't argue with you on that pick. That's who I would have gone with. He's my RB1 and my number one overall player on my big board. At number two, I think I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley here. It was a little bit of a down year for him, a little bit of a sophomore slump, but he also dealt with an injury. Rookie quarterback took over the offense. The offensive line's really bad. I think year three is going to be better for Barkley, and he's going to get back to where he was as a rookie.
I mean, and look no further than the last game against the Eagles on how electric he can be when healthy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So after those top two, which I think are the consensus top two, my guy who I'm taking off the board is Michael Thomas. I have a massive man crush on Michael Thomas. All he does is produce. He catches tons of passes. He puts up tons of yards. And it doesn't matter who his QB is. So I have to go with Michael Thomas here.
That's a solid pick. That's probably not what I would have done. Since you picked Thomas, I'm going to go with Ezekiel Elliott here, actually, who I would have taken at number three overall, given the chance. All he does is produce. He's one of those running backs that get you about 50 catches a year. Can't do any better than that.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm starting to pull away from Zeke Elliott. I'm actually trying to sell one of my shares where he has brought me to the playoffs a few years in a row. Hmm. I think he's getting towards the end. So, I'm trying to get away from him. So for my fifth pick, I'm going to follow it up. And I know he had an injury-plagued year this year, but I'm going with Davante Adams. He has proven to be a stud whenever healthy. I don't think any of his injuries are going to be chronic. So I go with Davante Adams at five overall.
Well, that's... I have him way down here at nine on my big board, so I'm not sure if you're high or I'm low on him.
But I'm definitely not high, although I am drinking bourbon.
Well, with that, it's going to leave... We're at pick number six then. I'm going to go ahead and take Dalvin Cook off the board here. He's my running back four. I love my dual threat running backs. And Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that based on what he did this year. I hope he maintains his health. Because when he's healthy, man, gosh, he looks good.
Yeah, he does.
You know, I'm going to follow up actually with Nick Chubb. I think Chubb continued to put up points on a pretty bad Browns team this year. I don't see them getting any worse, so I just see him getting better.
Especially if Kareem Hunt goes somewhere else this offseason, that backfield will be all Nick Chubb. And, his value can only go up from there. I think, technically I have Alvin Kamara ranked a little higher on my big board, but I'm going to go DeAndre Hopkins here. I haven't picked a receiver yet. He's Deshaun Watson's go-to target. He's good for at least 90 receptions a year. I think he's one of the safer receivers in the game, and he's only 27.
As of right now, our top eight were my top eight, not in the exact right order, but all the guys we've picked have come off in order. So I'm going to take my number nine back, Nick Mirabito's favorite player in the world, Alvin Kamara. I love Kamara. I think that he definitely has a touchdown regression coming next year, of regression to the positive, although it's not called a progression. It's still regression to the mean. So I'm excited for Kamara this year. I think we've seen him at his worst. He can only get better.
Yeah, I mean, if 2019 was Kamara's worst, I feel pretty good about taking him where at that value at number nine overall. All right, so at number 10, this is a tough one because I'm stuck here between two Alabama running backs that I absolutely love. So let's go with the guy who led the NFL in rushing this year, Derrick Henry. My running back seven, actually. A lot of people were down on him, and now he's kind of in that end of the first round kind of conversation. And
yeah, he's definitely not there for me. I have him just making my top 10 running backs, He took a beating this year. I don't know if another 400-yard carry for 400 carry season. Sorry, I can't speak. Is going to be good for him.
That's fair.
You know, you watch tonight's game. If Tennessee is not in the lead, they're not running the ball. So, I don't know. I'm not as gung-ho about him as I was. Now, somebody I am gung-ho about, so gung-ho I went and traded for him from you in the Rider Dynasty League, Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon was incognito, not Richie incognito. He didn't go crazy, but he couldn't be found. He was on milk cartons, if anybody's old enough to remember those, for the first half of the year, but down the stretch, he really turned it on, and that team is going nowhere but up. I'm excited to see what he can do with a full complement of talent around him.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I'm not saying I'm regretting trading him, but had he played that way the entire year, I would not have let Joe Mixon go. But yeah, it'll be exciting having the two Joes in the backfield, Burrow and Mixon. That should be a fun offense in the next couple of years here.
AJ Green, if he's healthy, Tyler Boyd, yikes. They could be electric.
And fantasy relevant.
That would be a good start.
So where are we at? We're at pick number 12?
We are, pick 12.
All right.
Finishing up our first round.
Dial it up then. Josh Jacobs. He's my running back 8. He's young. He has nowhere to go but up. He was the number 8 leading rusher in the NFL despite missing a few games with an injury. My hope is that in year 2, the coaches will figure out that he's actually a great receiver out of the backfield also, and he'll become more of a PPR machine, as well as the great running back he's already shown he can be. And, yeah, it's a little bit of a risk at the end of the first round, but Josh Jacobs, going to lock it in.
All right. He wasn't even in my top 24 overall. But, yeah, to recap our first round, we went McCaffrey and Barkley as the obvious top two. Michael Thomas went third. Zeke, Adams and Cook went 4, 5, 6. I then took Chubb, followed by Hopkins, Kamara, Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, and then Josh Jacobs finished up the running back run. So overall, we had what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 picks of running backs in our top 12. Do you think that's what you would expect in a normal startup?
No, I expect that there would be a few more receivers in there. Like, I know that Juju Smith-Schuster is still a hot name. Tyreek Hill might sneak in there to the first round. But, yeah, I mean, it seems like the running backs, just because of their shelf life, you want to get them when they're good and when they're young. So I think there's a little bit more of a premium on them.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Looking at my wide receiver rankings, I just found myself, after I got through like the top 10, that there were tons of guys who I wanted to put in my, you know, top 24.
Oh, yeah, I'm the same way. It's like,
so
there are 40 guys that can be in the top 24.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited at even the names who didn't make my top 24 overall, who I would draft. So starting off round 2, I'm going to go with the aforementioned, long-named Juju Smith-Schuster.
Nice.
I think the talent is there. They had probably the worst QB situation I've seen since the Jets to start this year. When Darnold was injured, that was a train wreck. So I think he's going to bounce back and be completely fine. So Juju Smith-Schuster at 13.
Solid pick. It's it's a good lucky 13 pick. I kind of agree, though. I think that he will bounce back with Big Ben back at quarterback. He's a 23-year-old stud. Those don't exactly grow on trees. So to follow up your pick of a wide receiver, I'm going to go ahead and pick a receiver also, and that would be Tyreek Hill. He's Pat Mahomes' go-to target, aside from Travis Kelce. He dealt with some injuries this past year, but he's one of the most electric playmakers in the entire league when he is on the field, and he's still very young, too. So, perfect dynasty receiver, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, you know, my personal feelings have been shared. I'm down on Tyreek Hill. But even on the field, I think he's more likely to get a pass interference called against him on the defense against him, like draw a pass interference than get the catch anymore. So I'm staying away from Tyreek. But again, that is purely based on my personal feelings about him. So somebody who I think has a much improved situation from this point last year, especially in my eyes, Pop Coughlin is gone. Leonard Fournette showed that he could catch the ball. He was a workhorse again for the Jaguars. I'm taking Leonard Fournette. He gets fed the rock and now he's catching it. I'm very excited for him.
Yeah, that's a really good pick, actually, at number 15 overall. Bit of a steal, if you ask me.
Thank you.
How about, I think it's time that the first tight end goes off the board. So I'm going to take George Kittle here.
Wow. Did I sound shocked enough?
Yeah, you did sound a little shocked. He's the best tight end in the NFL right now. Travis Kelce is on the wrong side of 30. And Kittle, he's shown that he can be consistent. And in a league that's thin at tight end, having the best one is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's a difference maker. I'm actually not going to argue with you. I said wow only because of who you didn't take. George Kittle was 21 for me, so not a big deal. Him going slightly earlier in the second round. So I am going to step up and steal your baby daddy. DJ Moore is all mine. I love DJ Moore. I love him. You brought my eyes upon him, and now he is all mine. My precious, if I may quote.
That you just sniped me. He was going to be my next pick. But there's another really strong receiver, really good receiver in the same division who's still just sitting there waiting to be taken, and that is Mike Evans, my wide receiver 5, actually. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go Mike Evans here.
Can't argue with that. Can't argue with Mike Evans. I mean, all he did was get injured this year. It's not like he wasn't good when he was healthy.
He still
put up a top 5, right?
I think he finished
definitely
in the top
wide receiver 1 overall.
Five.
I know he was top 5 through at least like week 14. Yeah. Can't argue with that at all. I'm actually going to keep the run of wide receivers going. Kenny Galladay.
Nice.
Galladay. I love Galladay. I love a bunch of younger wide receivers. There's Ridley, there's Sutton, but I'm looking at DJ Moore and Kenny Galladay to be bookends for the future. Stafford hopefully will come back healthy. I know he's had a rough 2 years, but before he went out this year, he was looking good. And I have good feelings about Stafford this coming year, especially with Galladay.
Yeah, I just really hope Stafford's back can hold up. That's 2 years in a row, which is really concerning.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a very solid pick. Kenny Galladay, he even proved to be QB proof. So yeah, can't really argue with that pick. So where are we at? We're at pick number 20.
We are at pick number 20. We're in our final stretch here.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead then. And this feels a little risky, but I'm going to go ahead and take Mike Evans' teammate, Chris Godwin, who also had a very, very good season. I want to say, 1,300 yards? Over 1,300 yards? And he's still very young, too. I think he's only 24, 25. And
yeah,
I think the future is bright for both those two receivers in Tampa.
I mean, I still remember Michael doing his, prove me wrong or tell me I'm wrong.
And
he said Godwin and Evans would both be top five.
And we laughed at him, or I did at least.
Oh, I did. I'm pretty sure I mocked him, but that's generally if I'm not condescending or being sarcastic, I'm usually mocking. So I'm trilingual that way. So that's a great pick. Normally at this point, I'm going to take, you know what? I'm going with the rookie. I'm going with Jonathan Taylor. It's tough to find a.
Oh, we're doing rookies now.
Oh, startup, baby, startup. Now.
Okay.
Did I just throw a curve? Do we not want to do rookies?
No, if you're throwing curves, I might throw a curve in there coming up next.
Well, this is the first place where I would feel confident taking a rookie without knowing where he's going to land. I think Jonathan Taylor has showed that, you know, given enough carries, he's sort of like a Derrick Henry.
Just keep in mind.
He needs the carries, but he can put up.
Keep in mind, 15 lost fumbles in the last 3 years.
Yeah, I said the same thing about Miles Sanders, though. And look how he showed up this year.
Touche. All right.
You're up, buddy.
Well, with that curveball, I'm going to go ahead and take the real RB1 in this year's class, DeAndre Swift out of Georgia. This is a guy, he's got good speed, he's got good vision, he makes the first defender miss, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, he's just an all-around good running back prospect, and upon entering the league, he's an immediate top 12 dynasty running back asset in my book.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you on that. Only because I don't know a lot about the rookies, but if we're going to start taking rookies and going down the row, I know I'm going to take the new wide receiver one for the Jets, Jerry Jeudy.
Okay.
And slap him right on my team here. I mean, granted, it's not a team because I would love to have 12 picks in the first two rounds, but
you and me both.
You know, I think Jerry Jeudy has a real chance to be electric in this league. I know your feelings about him, so I'm basing mine a little bit off of yours, but, you know, I think he has a chance to be a wide receiver one sooner than later.
Yes, but pair him with a good young quarterback with Sam Darnold, they can grow together. I think that's a great match, great pairing. It's a team that needs a wide receiver one. And
yes, we do.
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy is a great pick at this point. All right, with the final pick of this Rider Dynasty two-round mock draft.
Since it is only two rounds, I guess we can call him Mr. Relevant.
Mr. Relevant. I'm going to go ahead and take AJ Brown here.
Oh!
He's a... I thought about going CeeDee Lamb here for a second, but you know, AJ, he's been in the league for a year. He proved he can play at this level. He went over 1,000 yards as a rookie. I think he's going to be a really, really high end, potentially elite level receiver in this league for a long time. So AJ Brown at pick number 24.
All right, so let's look at that final, the second round for us. We had Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyreek Hill, Fournette, our only tight end off the board, followed with Kittle. We went on a wide receiver run with DJ Moore, Mike Evans, Kenny Golladay, and Chris Godwin. We had caught a little rookie fever with Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, and Jerry Jeudy. Before you brought us back to reality with A.J. Brown. Coming off a pretty solid showing tonight. Did he have a solid showing? I know he had that one great catch and run.
Yeah, he had a
Corey Davis looked like he was putting up more...
yeah.
Was receiving more targets than him.
Yeah, he did. But I think they both had pretty solid games, given that they're Tennessee's passing game hasn't exactly been on in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely not lighting the world on fire.
Absolutely not.
Okay, so now, I mean, just a quick wrap-up. Let's talk about some of the people who didn't make the list. Looking at running backs.
Lots of good ones.
So, Todd Gurley, no?
I think he might be done.
All right, let's do you know what? Let's do this rapid fire. Le'Veon Bell.
Again, he's past his prime as a running back. I'm a little skeptical.
Rapid fire, brother, you're done. Melvin Gordon.
No.
Austin Eckler.
I like him more as a third round type of pick.
Third down pick?
As long
or third round.
Third round of a startup, provided that he is in that backfield by himself.
Aaron Jones.
He actually was in my top 24. But just the way it played out. Yeah.
Ridley Sutton. No love for the third year wide receivers, right? They're third year guys.
They are, which is a great year for receivers. I love both of them. They just, like you said, we could have picked 40 players in this top 24.
Now, last but not least, I know you love this guy, Odell Beckham.
Yeah, this is a, it's just difficult to quite place him because, you put him with a quarterback like Baker Mayfield on a team with all that talent and he doesn't really perform to the lofty expectations. And it's like, is he going to settle in? Or is he going to go back to that receiver that he was in the first, second, third year of his career? So,
yeah, honestly, even after I saw the clips of the championship game with him giving cash to the players, to him slapping and then mocking that security guard, he's a big dummy. He's a big dummy.
Kind of like an Antonio Brown light, perhaps.
Or worse. I mean, Antonio Brown at least waited until his career was almost over before he went nuts.
True enough.
I mean, yeah. Odell's still in his prime, and man. So anyway, so tonight, Corey Davis had 5 for 65. A.J. Brown had 3 for 51. Not too bad.
Not terrible.
Not great, but not too bad. Anyway, so thank you, Ryan. I know we kind of threw this together at the last minute while we were watching the championship game, but this was fun. It's actually a good exercise for me just to see where, especially to value where I see the 1-1, where I see the 1-2. Like, what are they worth in rookie drafts? So would I trade Ty Hill for the 1-1?
Oof.
Maybe I would need a little bit more.
Yeah, I need a little bit more than that.
But, based on what we were looking at, it's not too big of a difference.
Especially if you're looking at Taylor Swift or Jerry Jeudy.
I see what you did there. All right. Well, and of course, just to end where we should always end, Sammy Watkins did have 7 for 114 and a touchdown tonight.
Sammy balled out.
Sammy Watkins will forever be my man. Anyway, Riders, remember, give us a follow on Twitter at Rider Dynasty. Like and subscribe our pod. If you leave a review, we promise to read it. Ryan, where can our Riders follow you?
They can find me on Twitter at the Debbie Dirtbag.
I am at JJ Wenner. Ryan, would you like to say goodbye?
Catch you in the next one, Riders.
Boat drinks, my friends.
Together. We die together. Bad boys for life.